Eric Rusk, horn player, has joined me in the studios for the second time. He was here a few years ago with Nancy Joy and Lonnie Klein for the umpteenth time. But always a pleasure to have Lonnie Klein, conductor of the Las Cruces Symphony, with us. And Eric Rusk is the soloist for this opening set of concerts this weekend. Eric Rusk, who, let's see, things that I've read about you lately. You were already subbing with the Chicago Symphony in your teens. And then you became the assistant horn player at Cleveland at 20. Yeah?
Correct.
That's pretty...
And I'm almost 23 now.
That's pretty good. and yet you played for so many years with them. And I remember from our last interview that you said you really wanted to play trumpet, but you were R in the alphabet. By the time they got to the R's, there were no more trumpets left, and you got to play horn.
That's it.
Wow. But it's really stuck, and... you have this fabulous career as a soloist and a chamber musician, and you play often with your wife, who's the violinist, Jennifer Frouchy, and she's performed here with the Las Cruces Symphony as well. And but tomorrow and Sunday, you're going to be playing a concerto which you've recorded by Reinhold Glier. Now, Reinhold Glier, a German-sounding first name and a French or Belgian-sounding second name, and he was Russian. Tell us something about Reinhold Glier.
Reinhold Glier wrote this particular concerto in 1951 for Valery Polak, who was a Russian horn virtuoso. And Valery Polak approached Glier and asked him if he would consider writing a virtuoso vehicle for the horn, kind of in the style of Tchaikovsky, the Tchaikovsky violin concerto. Glier contemplated the request and wrote this particular concerto for him. Valery Polak, the cadenza that I will be playing, was written, it's the poor man's violin, the poor man's Tchaikovsky violin concerto, the poor man's Brahms violin concerto. It's like Joachim writing the, the cadenzas.
Yeah.
And so Valery Polak wrote the cadenza that I'll be playing with this concerto. But it's beautiful. It's tuneful. 1950 may be a little bit off-putting to some people, they think. There was certainly much more adventurous music being written at this particular time period. It's very conservative. He was a very conservative composer. It's very romantic, very nationalistic. It's pretty. It's got some really lovely tunes. And it's a wonderful horn vehicle.
I think of him as a Romantic era composer, even though he lived into the middle of the 20th century, partly because, of course, he lived through the Soviet Revolution and the music that was expected of Soviet composers was to be more accessible and not Schoenberg. But I do. I think of him, even though he really lived more of his life in the 20th century, I think of him as a Romantic composer.
Yeah, he was a darling of the party. He was not. Yeah. They were clapping him on the back. I mean, he was living in their good graces.
Now, tell us some of this particular piece. Tell us some of the challenges of this piece.
Not playing it well.
Okay. That's the challenge. That's the challenge of every piece.
Of every piece, exactly. So they're always the same.
Yeah.
The challenges, I don't. To make it interesting, to make it beautiful, to play it in tune and time, and to stay with the orchestra, and it's basically at this point in my life, music has become really rather simple. I tend to make the same mistakes over and over and over again, and the wonderful thing is, that, I mean, not technical mistakes, but it's, I do the footwork, I practice the horn every day, and then when I get on stage, it was like last night, I had the great good fortune to be on stage with Lonnie Klein and the Las Cruces Symphony. And then at that point, the work's all done. And then I just get to play this wonderful piece that this man wrote.
Towards the end of his life.
Oh, very, yeah. Very much toward the end of his life, 65 years ago. And it's just, I mean, that's my day at the office. It doesn't get any better than that.
When you are picking up your horn for the first time in the day to practice, what's the thing that you love to do the most?
I'm very much a creature of habit.
Well, and then you have to be as a musician to some degree.
It's true. And I am. I've always practiced first thing in the morning. And first thing in the morning for me is anywhere between when I came out here, I got up at 3, and I practiced 3 in the morning. This morning I got up a little before 5, and when I'm in a hotel, obviously. I can't. I put on ESPN. I watch SportsCenter, and I do my hour and a half of fundamentals in the morning. And for me, it's incredibly comforting because it's always the same. I do the same thing every morning, and I have ever since I was probably 19.
Huh.
And I'm 50. That's a lot of days.
How do you make it fresh and new each morning? Or don't you?
No, there are myriad variations. It's like anything else. It's like a relationship with your spouse, with your children, playing a piece. I mean, I've played this Gliere piece, I've recorded it, and yet every time I come to it, it's like waking up in the morning. You never know what's going to happen. There's always some kind of adventure that's lurking around the corner. So,
when did you first play this piece?
Oh, gadzooks. Well, my memory is not one of my... one of the strongest suits.
You performed it many times.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Is it different every time?
Always. Always. Because always the players are different. You know, as I tell my students, I said, you know, it's the old adage, can you step into the same river twice? No, because the water's always gone. I mean, so the conductor's different, the orchestra's different, how I feel is different, what I'm bringing to the plate emotionally, physically, you know, artistically, technically. Everything's always changing. Hmm. So hopefully it's enjoyable for the audience.
Well, I'm sure it will be.
Fingers crossed.
You've made a number of recordings of all kinds of music, and solo horn pieces, as we just heard, horn and piano. You have a CD with maybe more than one, but I just have one with your wife and violin and piano, and orchestral CDs. So you do everything. You're soloist and you're chamber musician, orchestral musician, and... how do you balance it all? Is it just always whatever next is coming down the pike, so to speak?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think this is that's a question you ask any woman. I mean, how do you balance children, career, you know, family life? You know, it's as with all things, you give due notice to the project that you're in the midst of at that moment. You know, keeping in mind that whatever's after it also has to be, I mean, you know, you keep your feet in the present. Meanwhile, I mean, you can't ignore the future. So, I mean, while I'm here, I'm certainly practicing the Gliere, but I have some other repertoire that I have to play on Monday morning elsewhere. And so that doesn't, you know, I can't ignore whatever it is coming up, you know, and practice just this. So you just, you know, it's just about trying to manage and organize my time, mm-hmm. be efficient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I should add that Eric Rusk also teaches at Boston University.
Where your daughter's a student.
That's right.
And a very accomplished violinist. I'm looking forward to hearing her at some point.
Thank you. Well,
yes,
she was playing in the symphony last year under Lonnie, and she misses that. So,
I'm sure.
Yeah, but
and what great, I mean, that's stunning. I mean, what a stunning opportunity for a young musician to be with a world-class conductor playing great repertoire in a terrific hall. And at that point, she's now entering university with professional experience already under her belt.
Yeah, well, we have Dr. Klein to thank for that. Thank you, Lonnie.
Dr. Klein.
Let's turn the mic a little bit to you, too, and draw you into this conversation. So you've been rehearsing this Gliere from the podium side, from the conductor's side. What happens when the soloist shows up? How does
well,
that...
Well, that's interesting because... the tempos that I rehearsed with the orchestra, and we don't spend a lot of time on the concerto because obviously we have other repertoire we're learning, but I don't ignore it like a lot of conductors do. I hit all the movements, you know, and work on the transitions and so on and so forth. So when I met Eric yesterday, we started the opening, and I immediately knew. I thought, you know, this is more rhapsodic. He's not playing dee da. It's much more ebb and flow. So I sort of have to change gears. I told the orchestra, I said, you know, we're going to really need to follow Eric. He's going to be very expressive, very expansive. Tempos are a little slower. I always have a tendency to push tempos a little bit. So, you know, it's a learning situation. And I wanted to do this piece as well because, you know, you always hear Mozart and Strauss a lot. And I didn't know this. It's actually Nancy Joy introduced me to this piece. And so when I heard it, same thing. Wow, this is a very romantic concerto. So, you know, it's a good fit for us. Mm-hmm. And it's a very nice accompaniment.
The orchestra, in other
words. Yes, the accompaniment. Orchestra is very nice. It's not just oom-pa-pa, oom-pa-pa. We actually have the melody. There's a nice dialogue with the orchestra and the soloists.
Wind soloists.
A lot of wind soloists, harps, beautiful. It's a lovely piece, particularly the slow movements, very beautiful.
Hmm. And I'm still mulling over this concept of a Tchaikovsky violin concerto for the horn.
The poor man's Tchaikovsky.
Okay, that's the key.
It's like Beethoven's choral fantasy. It's the poor man's ninth symphony.
But great works. Lonnie, tell us what else you've got on the program this weekend.
We've got an interesting program where we're going to start off with the Dance of the Hours, and I won't give the tune away, but everyone will recognize it. I didn't know this overture. I had never performed it, at least, but it's a beautiful overture, Italian overture, and that's all I'm going to say. It harkens back to Camp Granada.
I know.
I'm not going to say any more. But there's a common thread through the entire program. The first half is, and it's Dance of the Hours, and each little section depicts like sunrise, sunset. It's very, very lovely. And then second half is basically French, and the common thread again is clair de lune, the moon, and then Daphnis is all about birds and nature, and it's a great ballet, of course. So the common thread sort of is nature and sunrise and sunset. And, of course, Daphnis and Chloe is such a beautiful piece. It's a real tour de force for the orchestra. I mean, this is the biggest orchestra we'll have all year. I mean, we've got two flutes, a piccolo alto flute, bass clarinet, E-flat clarinet, four trumpets, three trombones, five horns, English horn, celeste, harp, nine percussion. It's just a fabulous piece. So it's really all about color. That piece is about color, and the Debussy is about color. And the Debussy Clair de Lune, everyone knows, is a piano piece, but this has been transcribed by Arthur Luck, who was a librarian, who retired and started Luck's Music and, of course, made a fortune. But he arranged this, and it's very lovely. Fits very well for the orchestra. Hmm. But for the purist, they may not like it because it's originally a piano piece. So this is a transcription, but, it's in the top 100.
Caveat emptor, they've been warned. My guests are Lonnie Klein, conductor of the Las Cruces Symphony, and Eric Rusk, who will be the horn soloist this weekend. Eric, who are some of your major teachers on the horn?
I had two. Eugene Chasso, who was my teacher throughout high school, who was just a wonderful man. I had a woman, Donna Oselka, who actually took me up until high school, who was a local teacher in LaGrange, who was wonderful. And then my principal teacher was Dale Clevenger, the principal horn, who just recently retired from the Chicago Symphony after, 47 years as principal horn of the Chicago Symphony. Mm. A wonderful man, an amazing musician, And one of the things that, struck me about him was that he loved to play. He loved music, he loved the horn. He was always like a little kid every time he picked up the horn.
So. Yeah, he's doing a lot of conducting too, isn't he? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can you give us some morsel of wisdom that he conveyed to you at some point in your studies about music or about horn or about...
One of the... Risk! He was from Chattanooga. He is from Chattanooga. But he always had... And he was very demonstrative. And he was an incredibly intense, very extroverted man. He still is. I mean, he's such a passion for life. And one of the things that I remember as a kid, it was like to be next to this presence that was just so large. And then he would take that on stage. And to occupy, he was just a chair, just like anybody else in the Chicago Symphony. But his presence was just... Really, I mean, whether he was playing pianissimo or whether he was playing fortissimo, I mean, just so much commitment. And that to me was, I think, was one of the things that made the largest and strongest impressions on me.
His passion and presence.
And absolute commitment to whatever it was that he was doing, whether it was soft, loud, fast, slow, high, low, he was vested in the moment.
Hmm.
And that's, I mean, that takes a kind of, I mean, there are most people, you know, have a little bit too much fear to walk that far out on the gangplank. And I love that.
So tell us something that, how do you convey that to your students?
I try to strike them whenever possible.
Oh, corporal punishment in Massachusetts.
Exactly.
I don't think so.
No, it's, you know, I mean, music is all about letting go. Music is all about, you know, finding the passion within yourself and then being able to share it without being controlled by, you know, your fear and insecurities. And so when you see a kid give of him or herself, it's the ultimate gift.
Mm. Mm. How long have you been at BU, at Boston University?
23, 24 years, something like that.
Well, it's a great school, and it is.
It really is
up.
A wonderful place. Yeah. I'm so fortunate to be a part of it.
Once again, we've got two concerts this weekend. Eric Rusk, our guest today, will be performing the Concerto for Horn by Reinhold Glier. And that wasn't a French name, I understand. It was a German name, and he changed the spelling of it to look more French, sound more French. And music of Ravel and Debussy, and Lonnie Klein will be conducting the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. Great to have you both here today.
Thank you, Leora. It's
always
a pleasure.